In Mind the Stop, written 60 years ago, G.V. Carey defines punctuation as being governed two-thirds by rule and one-third by personal taste. My own position is similar. In some matters of punctuation, there are simple rights and wrongs. In others, one must apply a good ear to good sense. I want the greatest clarity from punctuation, which means, supremely, that I want apostrophes where they should be, and I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, until everyone knows the difference between its no apostrophe and its apostrophe S. And bloody well nobody writes about dead sons' photos without indicating whether the photos in question show one son or several. So what I propose is action. Sticklers unite. You have nothing to lose but your sense of proportion, and arguably, you didn't have a lot of that to begin with. Maybe we won't change the world, but at least we'll feel better. Be a nuisance. Do something. And if possible, use a bright red pen. The English language first picked up the apostrophe in the 16th century. In classical texts, it was used to mark dropped letters. And when English printers adopted it, this was still its only function. So in Shakespeare's time, Hamlet could say, "Fiont," spelt O-N apostrophe T, or "'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished," "'Tis," spelt apostrophe T-I-S, while Shakespeare's printers substituted an apostrophe for the E of wished. If only the apostrophe's life had stayed that simple. At some point in the 17th century, however, printers started to intrude an apostrophe before the S in singular possessive cases, the girl's apostrophe S, dress. And from then on, quite frankly, the whole thing has spiralled into madness. In the 18th century, printers started to put it after plural possessives as well, the girls' S apostrophe dresses, and currently the apostrophe has a whole range of jobs on its CV. Before we start tearing out our hair at sloppy, ignorant current usage, first let's acknowledge the sobering wisdom of the Oxford Companion to English Literature, which says, "There never was a golden age in which the rules for the possessive apostrophe were clear-cut and known, understood and followed by most educated people." And then let's check that we know the rules about possessive pronouns, none of which, let me emphasise, requires an apostrophe. Its, for example, hers, ours, yours and theirs, no apostrophes. And now, some of the important tasks the apostrophe is obliged to execute every day. First, a possessive in a singular noun, the boy's hat, apostrophe S. This seems simple, but not so fast, Batman. Even when the possessor is plural, but it doesn't happen to end in an S, the apostrophe precedes the S, the children's playground, apostrophe S. When the possessor is a regular plural, that is, it does end with an S, the apostrophe follows the S, the boy's hats, more than one boy, S apostrophe. I apologise if you know all this, but the point is, many, many people don't. Why else would they open a large play area for children, hang up a sign saying, "Giant Kids Playground," apostrophe S, and then wonder why everyone stays away? Answer: everyone's scared of the giant kid,